Good Tuesday morning, everybody. Welcome on in to today's Freight Waves Now Community Spotlight. I'm Kaylee Nix, and it's time to check in with Mary O'Connell, host and writer of our 3PL-focused community chat call. Mary, thanks for joining us.
Thank you guys, as always, for having me. You know, there's literally no better place to spend a Tuesday.
Absolutely. And we are glad to have you back in the United States. For those of you who don't know, Mary was out in Japan for the last couple weeks, thanks to some TV magic. Of course, you know, you didn't miss her here on air. But how was your trip? And we're glad that you made it back.
I'm also glad that I made it back. Flying across the Pacific Ocean is quite a long flight, but the trip was amazing. You know, definitely not for those that don't like walking. You're going to do a lot of walking, but it was a great trip and couldn't have had a better time, and really excited to actually be, you know, not doing weeks worth of content in advance. We're back to our regularly scheduled program.
Love it. And like I said before, we're glad to have you back with us. And today we're going to dig into a topic here that is, it shouldn't be any stranger to the FreightWaves community. We're talking to folks from Arrive Logistics, and they are, of course, one of our favorite companies to talk to. They've got a pretty strong presence when it comes to cross-border freight, both now bracketing the United States on both sides, right? They had a Canada office, just recently opened a Mexico office. Talk to us a little bit about how they are navigating cross-border freight from now both sides of the United States.
Yeah. So originally when they opened the Canada office, I was like, that's a weird choice. And I would think that you would open the Mexico office first. But turns out they had kind of sort of had a Mexico office already in place. It just kind of took some time to really get it established and get the ball rolling and then really kind of build up the space. We talked to Jess Beledo, and she actually is like, yeah, we don't even have stickers on the wall of like Arrive Logistics yet. So it's a brand new office. They're really excited. And it's kind of the same approach that they're doing to Canada. They're kind of bringing it to Mexico, where they want to bring that level of service and that level of commitment to those shippers, those carriers, et cetera, in Mexico that they have done in the U.S. and also in Canada. So whether that's, you know, making sure that carriers have scorecards and shippers are getting what they are promised, it's the little stuff like that, like those track and trace, those visibility tools, everything that we kind of assume is baseline standard here, they're kind of bringing it to some new customers down in Mexico and bringing that kind of technological advancement down to Mexico. Because fun fact, I did not know this until we talked to Jess. Mexico has a lot of more outdated technology, and it's not their transportation and supply chain world is quickly catching up to the US's. So they kind of did a giant leap over some technology.
There's a really big opportunity that we've kind of lightly touched on for some of our TMS and technology providers to break into that Mexican market. But for a lot of these 3PLs and a lot of the carriers down there, it simply just doesn't exist right now. You talk to a lot of these carriers that are doing business quite literally over WhatsApp. That's the only visibility tool that they have, just simply because that market hasn't been cracked yet. And Arrive is obviously a pretty largely established 3PL unit in the space. Are they looking at doing any kind of like simultaneous build of technology down for their Mexican customers? Or are they finding a unique partnership that works really well where they're both bringing that technology down and helping introduce it, but not necessarily building it themselves?
So much like they did in Canada, for those who have worked on a Mexican shipment and is traditional U.S.-based TMS, you know that anytime you enter Mexico or Canada, the system, you know, struggles. We'll put it nicely. We'll say it struggles. And more often than not, you have to kind of do something manually, and you can't really get that continuous flow like you would on a shipment here in the contiguous U.S. So it's something that, you know, they kind of already have built that into their TMS. So now there is that extra component of visibility, and they are trying to tackle that WhatsApp, that basically like the WhatsApp problem of everything happens via, you know, these text change and these apps, but to get them into a TMS where you can get that visibility and those other things, that is a challenge because it kind of makes people alter the way that they've been doing business for a long time. And so while it might be for the better, it is an ongoing problem that, you know, you do have to kind of get through that WhatsApp situation. I'm sure they have some creative solutions, but they have basically made it where if you put a shipment that is cross-border, the system won't immediately lose its mind and freak out.
And I think that that's super important because we know that for the success of these 3PLs and some of their cross-border initiatives, there has to be really that seamless workflow, or else you lose a lot of that important information and it makes your process really sticky, not just for maybe your reps that are in United States offices, but also for those carriers that you want to build and maintain those relationships with. And I can almost feel like that's maybe an underrated part of relationship management that we don't really talk about a whole lot, is making sure that through your provided opportunities, everyone is on that level playing field. Have they talked about any maybe unique challenges that they're facing with some of these Mexican carriers? Mexico's not necessarily a super friendly freight environment right now. We've talked to Thomas Wasson about that a lot. Or are they able to kind of navigate some of those big challenges?
So actually, one of the really great things about this new office in Mexico is, you know, the way everything kind of works is that I know a guy who knows a guy, and that is kind of how they've been able to build a strong carrier network, and kind of they get someone that already, you know, they get the guy that they know to more or less say like, no, this is a good company to work with. They kind of get that sign of that sign off, that seal of approval. And that's how they've been really fortunate to do that. And also, like you mentioned, one of the most underrated things about relationship building, and this goes to anywhere that you're trying to build a relationship with a carrier, is, you know, taking a step back and say, okay, well, what can I do that's going to make things easier for you? What is something that I can do that I can maybe take on that could make your life easier and make it easier for you to do business with me? So little things like that, no matter where you're trying to build relationships, whether it's the Mexico, US, or Canada, or internationally, it's definitely something that I cannot state that enough, of just the little detail of what can I do to kind of help you with your processes, or what can I do to make your job easier, whether that's, you know, sending something a certain way or whatever. It's literally just that. To me, it's that simple. And that's kind of that approach that they've taken down in Mexico, is kind of, you know, build that network of people that they know, and the friends of a friend, and, you know, Joe who knows Tony, who knows Tom, that kind of stuff.
So like I mentioned, Arrive is well and established in 3PL space, but maybe for some smaller groups who are looking to break into cross-border freight for the first time, what's that one thing that you think every brokerage needs to know that make sure that they avoid the pitfall, or make sure that they are not making a detrimental mistake when starting their cross-border business?
I would definitely say, don't just pick a random carrier and start with them. If you can use someone through your, you know, maybe your customs warehouse, or get a recommendation of a carrier to start with and then go from there. Because if you start with one good, reliable carrier that, again, someone else has vouched for and said, this is great, then I think you'll have a lot more success kind of getting started and getting that footprint in Mexico. Whereas if you just kind of pick a carrier willy-nilly, I think that's going to open yourself up to a lot more possibilities of fraud, of theft, of running into some of those issues where you're not able to fully service your customer. And that is the last thing that anybody wants to deal with.
Due diligence is your best friend, right? It might take a little bit longer, but it's worth it to do that due diligence on the front side than it is to lose your freight and have to file claims and really have to deal with it all on the backside. Mary, for the show coming up later on today, where can people go to get that? And then, of course, your newsletter is coming up as well. And where can they find that?
Well, if you want to watch the show, which I highly, highly recommend, just keep watching YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to FreightWaves. Hit the little notification bell so you'll know the second that it's available. And if you want to read the newsletter, that comes out at 2:00 today, about a little bit after the show, which comes out at 12:30. So go ahead and subscribe to that on FreightWaves.com/checkcall, and you'll just be all caught up on everything.
All right, Mary, thanks for joining us this morning. We'll see you later on this week for Running on Ice, and then we'll catch up with you next week again for Check Call one more time.
Thank you, guys. See you later.